recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Lindsay Wealth Management, LLC, is a registered investment advisor.
Good morning. What Financial Questions Real Answers. This is your host, Darwin Lindsay, Certified Financial Planner with Lindsay Wealth Management. Today is Friday, April 19th, 2024. If you do have a question or topic that you would like to hear on the show, we would love to hear from you. 812-316-2079. Follow us on Facebook or X, formerly known as Twitter. Send us an email, info@lindsaywealth.com. We'd be more than happy to get your question or topic on the show. We will start off with the S&P 500. Again, you cannot buy or sell, and everything we talk about is not a recommendation that we do talk about. We're referring to SPX when we are talking about the S&P 500. Can't even purchase that if you wanted to. You got to find something else. But anyway, let's look at the setup here. Very interesting little take that did happen there last Friday that we had been talking about, and that really was you had the downward movement. You did get the close below 50.90 was what we were really looking for. It was a downward day on Friday, but then on Monday sort of sealed the deal. That was the close at 50.61. So where does that actually put us at this point in time? Well, again, I told you that topping is a process. At this point, the top was March 28th. Now, I'm just saying that this is what I said on this show was back on March 22nd, I believe it was, that, hey, we should be topping out or in a topping process probably either this week or next week. It went down, then it went back up, basically went nowhere there for the week, so that's why I'm just calling it the March 28th as the high. At this point in time, again, the weekly momentums are downward. The dailies have obviously been downward. That close below 50.90 should be a wake-up call. Now, some people will say it's not that big a deal. I would say I think it's a very big deal, and I would be paying close attention. Now, where they're really going to start getting a little bit more nervous about this for sure is going to be if we do get a close that happens below 49.53. And that's what I'm on the lookout for. And people would be like, well, why do you think it's 49.53? Well, again, it's closing overlaps. That was a low that happened back on February 13th. And that would be a close that's below that. And that would take you back even further. Now, some of this is starting to already get set up. The computers are starting to pick up on this. And it is going to be downward movement. However, on a daily basis, we should be near a low. Again, it's going to take two up days in a row to confirm a daily low, but I would be expecting that at any point in time here to take place. If that does, the approximate would be to 51.36 to 51.66. Don't know that for certain yet, but that's sort of the range that I would expect, and that's what you would get, a 3 or 4 day bounce up into that range, which would just be a corrective in nature. And then it's going to resume going lower. Now, everyone, of course, always wants to know, what's going to happen with the market? What's it going to do? Again, I only give you the correct answer every time I get asked this question. No one knows. That's the only correct answer. And people don't like that, but it's the truth. And giving that answer is actually probably cured more heartache and pain than penicillin, and that's why you should continue to believe in that whenever you are looking and trying to figure out what is going to happen in the future, because no one knows for certain. However, what we do know is we had a low back in October, and as of now, we have a top that happened on March 28th. So you can do a little math off of here, And based on the parameters that I see, that would tell you that, at least from the setup that I'm looking at, there's a high probability that with that, you are going to see the market continue to decline. And I don't think that there would be a... I think it will decline into May at the earliest. More than likely, because people are always asking these sort of things, into July 5th. That would be the ideal time frame. Would be some. The minimum would be May 24th. The probable would be July 5th. The longest would be August 30th. And that's just for that leg. It could be a higher time frame again. Only time and months would be able to tell you that. You start off with the daily, then you move to the weekly. We'll see if we move down for this month. We do move down for this month, which is going to be pretty obvious if we do, because it was March 28th was the high. Just basically needs to be lower this month. More than likely is going to happen. Then if that is the case, now you have 1 month down. Do we get 2 months down? This is, again, how it always starts, whether it's on the upswing or downswing. You start small and you work your way up. And if it happens, it happens. At this point in time, the S&P 500 should be sideways to down for 2 to 3 weeks would be the most problematic thing that it looks like it's going to take place there. So that's why we use that. Some people will tell you the sky is going to fall and it's going to be and you know, that this is the top of all tops. They may be right. They may be wrong. Don't really worry about that really long-term time frame. What we see is we'll use those parameters that I gave you there using those numbers. And if over that time period we're down, which wouldn't surprise me considering we've been up for whatever that was, 23 weeks or whatever, then if it stays between those parameters that I just gave you, then there's probably a good chance that it's going to rally off there. However, if it blows through those, now you got to think, are you possibly on a higher time frame? And if that's the case, then the next stop after that would be about 4,100. Don't jump the gun there. I would just say be cautious here. The equity markets are telling you something. You need to be paying attention. Dow Jones Industrial Average, it's trying to actually kick up on the daily. The weekly should be sideways down for another week or two. It has been down now 3 weeks in a row, assuming we get the lower close here than last week, which it only has to close below 37,983 of last week to be another week down. So that's what we're looking for there. The Russell, it's probably the most, it's the one you need to pay attention to, in my opinion. The daily's down. The weekly is down for another probably 2 to 3 weeks. It's not even overbought yet. This is huge because if it actually does get a close that happens below 1944, which of course we're almost right there on it, that is going to be a closing overlap. It should be continued downward and downward hard, and everyone should understand that that's about what's ready to take place there. It has confirmed the top. The only one that hasn't really confirmed the top yet is the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ needs... what's the number here? It needs to close below 17,478. So we're right there. I mean, it's close. It just hasn't confirmed it yet. The NASDAQ's the one that's been hanging on the most. And again, that is the true NASDAQ, not the NASDAQ 100. The NASDAQ 100 actually has already done it. So it's just the actual NASDAQ that hasn't met it yet. So all these are sort of confirming indicators to tell you. I want to be expecting the market to be going up here. Should be sideways or down. More than likely it's going to be for a month or two in a bigger type of correction. At a minimum, it's a correction. We don't know that for sure until we figure out the pattern off of here. But if it held at those parameters, three waves down, something like that, something that's pretty identifiable, then we'd be in good shape to be able to identify that and move forward. So that's really what we're looking at. No big news that came out this week. Biggest news that happens over there in the Middle East. Again, Middle East, Iran knew what they were doing, fired off stuff that they knew would basically get shut down. They're hoping that Israel doesn't retaliate. I don't put anything... I mean, you go mess with Israel, they're going to come at you. So I don't know. I mean, that's just a mess. if they do go bomb something actually in Iran, or if they actually try to hit an embassy or something else that Iran's outside of there, who knows? But I don't expect that conflict to be over anytime soon. We do need to go to break, as always. If you do have a question or topic you would like to hear on the show, we'd love to hear from you. 812-316-2079. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Send us an email, info@lindsaywealth.com. Financial questions, real answers. We'll be right back after this short break.
From the WAOV News Center, I'm Tom Lee reporting. The Vincennes Redevelopment Commission agreed to donate $10,000 to the Vincennes Tree Board for its tree planting and removal work. The funding will be used to plant and remove trees from inside the city's tax increment financing zone. Tree Board members will continue their efforts now to both plant new trees for dead and dying ones and to fight against various invasive species in the city's right-of-way. Indiana State Police arrested an Odin man on burglary and drug charges that following a call to DeMott Drive in Odin. 45-year-old Matthew Cornelius's arrest followed an investigation and began on April 13th. Cornelius facing charges of burglary, stalking, voyeurism, five counts of intimidation, residential entry, and possession of methamphetamine, marijuana, and paraphernalia. And Illinois State Police remind teens across the area to celebrate prom and the upcoming graduation season responsibly. State Police in Illinois will conduct high visibility patrols across the state to reduce crashes on those roads. We've got more at WAOVAM.com. I'm Tom Lee, WAOV News. The WAOV forecast now from the Brian Stevens Erie Insurance Weather Center. High of 61 today under sunny skies. Tonight partly cloudy, low near 43. Then sunny for tomorrow, a high near 59. 60 Sunday, 66 on Monday. This is your home for St. Louis Cardinal baseball all season long. Listen to the Cardinals right here on WAOV.
Welcome back to Financial Questions, Real Answers. This is your host, Darwin Lindsay, Certified Financial Planner. If you do have a question or topic you would like to hear on the show, we would love to hear from you. 812-316-2079. Follow us on Facebook or X. Send us an email, info@lindsaywealth.com. We'll be more than happy to get it on the show. Now, the one thing that did come out here regarding bonds was the Beige Book came out. It's basically essentially the notes that the Fed has. The Fed is in a really bad spot and continues to be there, basically showing that they aren't going to be cutting rates, even though they want to cut rates because they have inflation going on. And, of course, according to their definition, they need to see that down a couple months in a row to be able to do anything. Well, that puts up May, June, July. And we talked about a lot here, but the odds of having a rate cut in July are around 40% at this point in time, just to move it down 25 basis points. And I wouldn't be expecting that type of movement. However, there may be some pressure that's happening from the European Union because they act like they're going to be moving their rates down here soon. So you never know, but keep an eye on it. Let's run through these, because what's happened here lately is the yields have come up because of this. And the price of bonds has gone down. So if you're owning bonds, that's probably what you've seen if you're actually looking at a statement. 3 months at 5.396, 6 months at 5.379, 2 years at 4.98, the 5 years at 4.67, the 7 years at 4.66. The 10 years at 4.63, that's one most people are paying attention to, 20 years at 4.85, and the 30 years at 4.72. Again, inverted yield curve, the short end of the yield or of the time is much higher than the longer term, which has a much lower yield. Based on all the economic factors, again, it's only a matter of time before we're truly in a recession. What's been saving it off is actually the Fed pumping money into it. This is one of the ways that they've been able to manipulate it. But that seems to be coming to an end as, again, more people are struggling to get by. If I didn't say it on last week's show, because I sometimes read too much stuff and forget exactly what I said, but 13% essentially cannot make the minimum payment on a debt payment. They're 90 days past due is what it is in this country, which is higher than pre-COVID. So you just that's why you're going to see more deals and more things happening. It's just inevitable with the way that prices currently are. As we do look at the let's look at the 2-year. Should be up for 2 to 3 days. The weekly should be down for probably another week or two would be the most logical to happen there. So that's sort of where bonds are. I mean, it's probably the 30 could be getting near a weekly low that is taking place there, but I would watch that. You can see some of the panic that's happened, too, here in the dollar. The dollar had started the panic Wednesday, April 10th. It got a big jump up, and it's continued to soar up. However, the weekly's completely overbought. The euro dollar is telling you the exact opposite picture, which is the daily looks like a bottom there on Tuesday. It's been up. So the weekly there is bottoming. I would say that this is probably a good indication that the euro is going to rally. It's around 106 right now. I wouldn't be surprised for it to rally over time to 120 and the dollar go down. It's just inevitable with the way that we're running our finances and the way that that's happening at this point in time. Gold has continued to defy a little logic here. Again, I'm expecting a pullback to take place. Hasn't quite happened yet. And people need to be realistic here. I mean, it has had such a nice run-up. Again, it could have dropped down $150 or something. You know, it's 230, 2370 in there. The daily sort of mixed with a downward bias. The weekly's overbought. It's just really that simple. You get a close below last week's close, which was 2356, that would probably signal that a weekly high is complete. So that's sort of what I'm watching out for there. Again, all I expect there is a correction, 3 to 4 week correction, which is in a impulsive wave up. I would expect gold and silver to go to new highs. The silver, though, is a little bit, it's a little trickier, I will say that. The way that it has propped up here, that, and that's where there's some divergence here. The daily on the silver is downwards. However, it's basically been sideways for 5 days, really hardly moved. Now, it spiked up one day and came back, but the closes, if you look at the closes, that's why I always go with the closes, basically a straight line 5 days across. So probably is topping. The weekly is overbought. However, again, it did have the breakout, so I'm expecting it. You know, you're at 28.34, continuous contract. Wouldn't be surprised this gets back down around 20, 25, 26 here over the next 3 or 4 weeks and then continues to rally higher. That would just be the expectations. That doesn't mean that it's going to happen. Let's look at oil. Gasoline prices, Vincent's, Indiana, about 340-ish, I believe. 345 is where we are. Now, people, this is, again, this is one of the best examples that I can give to people is let's look at oil. Oil, been saying for some time, this is a correction. Everyone thinks there's war going on over here. There's war going on over here. Oil's going to continue to go up. Look at it. It's going to continue to go up. No, it's come down. Yeah, it's come down because that's what charting tells you. It shouldn't be going up. Could that spike up? Yes. But then the other thing that happened was on, I believe it was, I don't know if it's Tuesday or Wednesday, because I don't know when the announcement was made, but I know it affected Wednesday, was it was over down there over 3% when they're like, oh, well, we got a surplus. Well, yeah. So where everyone thinks oil was going to go up, in fact, it had a doji on April 5th, and a doji, it just looks like a cross on there, meaning the open and the close was almost the same. A lot of times that happens when there is a tie, when it's going to change directions. The open and the close are almost the exact same. It looks like a cross. Perfect doji. That was when the high was, except for, I mean, there was an interday one that did happen on Friday of last week. But downward is the trend. That's what we would expect. It got all the way up there, touched the 0.786 retracement level, which is usually the max retracement. Almost touched it to the penny. It has now reversed. The other part that is telling you something here is when it came down for 10 weeks. Then this movement from when it bottomed in December 14th, the week of December 14th, it rallied off of there. Or no, it was the day, sorry. Rallied off of there. But here's the thing. It's rallied for 17 weeks, and it's only made up 78% of a 10-week decline. This is by far a correction. Should be sideways down. Longer term, I wouldn't be shocked if we're testing $70, if not $62. And I may have to update that if we confirm a top, but that's what we're looking for with the oil. Bitcoin, baby. Again, I don't understand this at all. I don't recommend this. I don't buy it. It's an imaginary thing that lives in your mind, but if you have some, okay. The daily has been down here, should be near a daily low. The weekly should be down for another 2 to 3 weeks. We're looking at 55,000 is our target. Halving is going on today. Again, maybe it was yesterday. I don't even really care. What happens there again is the people that are quote-unquote mining, which means they're really doing all the work on the blockchain to figure out who bought or sold this, they're only going to get paid half of what they were. If you look at history, halving will tell you nothing really happens when things halve. However, 3 months after halving, usually Bitcoin is up. So I'll give you that one. But that's where we are, at least according to Bitcoin and the guidance that you do have there. But it dropped $7,000 here this week. So it's just a highly volatile asset. I would avoid it at all costs, but people ask me about it. That's why it's on the show. I'm a man of the people. We do need to go to a short break. When we come back, we'll finish up with some of these commodities, try to answer a few of your questions that we do have. As always, if you do have a question or topic you would like to hear on the show, we'd love to hear from you. 812-316-2079. You follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Send us an email, info@lindsaywealth.com. Financial questions, real answers. We'll be right back after this short break.
Here is the Life and Death Report now from WAOV. Funeral services for 37-year-old Joshua Like will be conducted with a private committal service at a later date. Like passed away on April the 13th. There will be a visitation, though, that'll be tomorrow, 11 until 4, at the Frederick and Son McClurott Funeral Home, Vincent's Chapel. Memorial contributions to the Tucker Like Scholarship Fund that will be set up. Condolences and fond memories may be made at frederickandson.com. Mr. Like was a deputy coroner in Knox County. Funeral services for Jerry McGahey will be conducted, with services taking place 11 a.m. on Monday, April 22nd, at St. Vincent Catholic Church. It'll be out on South Hart Street Road in Vincennes. McGahey passed away on April the 13th. Visitation will take place. That will be from 3 until 5 Sunday at Goodwin Seavers Funeral Home. There will be a rosary service beginning that day at 5 p.m. after visitation is completed. Memorial contributions may be made to the St. Francis Xavier Catholic Church. Online condolences at GoodwinSeavers.com, and burial will be in the Mount Calvary Catholic Cemetery. And funeral services for 85-year-old Ron Thomas will be conducted, with a memorial service that will take place at Goodwin Seavers Funeral Home, and that will be on Monday. Memories may be shared at GoodwinSeaversFH.com. Thomas passed away on March the 29th, and memorial donations to the Vincent's Lincoln Athletic Booster Club. Goodwin Seavers Funeral Home in charge of arrangements. Thomas, a former fire chief for the city of Vincennes. More Midray information available anytime at WAOVAM.com. That's the Life and Death Report from WAOV. The WAOV forecast now from the Brian Stevens Erie Insurance Weather Center. Becoming sunny today, a lot cooler, high near 61. Partly cloudy tonight to low of 43. Sunny tomorrow, high of 59. Looking at Sunday, mostly sunny, high of 60, and then 66 on Monday. It's the Morning Chat with Ed Ballinger, weekday mornings at 10 on WAOV.
Welcome back to Financial Questions, Real Answers. This is your host, Darwin Lindsay, Certified Financial Planner. If you do have a question or topic you would like to hear on the show, we'd love to hear from you. 812-316-2079. You follow us on Facebook or X. Send us an email, info@lindsaywealth.com. We'll be more than happy to get your question or topic on the show. Continuing on with some of the commodities here, just going through this. Wheat. Continuous contract should be a daily low. It's almost perfect. I was looking for 521.1. We were at 521.0. So, hey, if you trust that, problems the weekly is absolutely mixed. I can't tell you if that's going up or down or we're going to new lows here. It's very dicey if you're trying to play that. The futures may look different. Corn, continuous contract, probably moving down to 421 to 414, that's where I would expect prices to be before we see a daily bottom take place there on the corn. The weekly is definitely in a downward trend, at least 2 to 3 weeks. So we'll be expecting it probably on the lower end of that. It could go lower than that, but that's the most logical. I will say that's a little thrown off because there was one big spike day in there, but that should be pretty good here, at least over the next week, to tell you where it's going. Soybeans, man, the daily is near a low. The weekly should be sideways down for 2 to 3 weeks. This is a real problem for soybeans. This is what concerns me. If you're looking at that, the lowest close we've had is 11.33, at least here in the last 3 years. You're at 11.49, 11.50-ish range. Sideways down for 2 to 3 weeks. I think you're going to put in a new low here. It's dirty on that. That's a continuous contract. I'm going to try to get November soybeans and December corn back on here. I apologize about that. I updated the program and that for some reason with the commodities took away those. So I got to get those back for you. Looking at natural gas is trying to find a daily bottom here. 171. The weekly probably is sideways to up for a week or two. I don't expect it to get above 190. It could. Anything can happen, but that's where we are there. Taking a look at that volatility index, talked last week. Hey, probably should see a big spike up. Man, that'd been a good day to get in there because did it go? It went from 15 all the way up to 18. So, again, that's really not something to trade. They do it on the futures contracts. They expire almost every day. It's really weird how it works. I don't recommend trying to do any of that. I just basically use it as a reference for volatility. But it spiked back up. We're back up now to 18, which is well above any place that we've basically been since October. So that's what... That's just an indication that there's more volatility out there, and you just want to be aware of that. However, the volatility should be sideways down for 3 or 4 weeks because it's overbought at this point in time. So that's just some of the things that we have seen out there. People asking some questions regarding other things that have happened. Speaking of, was talking to a person that's in trucking. They're not actually a truck driver, do other things, but they work with a lot of truckers. They had two words for me. They said it's a bloodbath out there. You never want to hear that with trucking because that's the first thing where they shut down or things happen. But we've already seen this start to take place, and the prime example is with Tesla. They say they're going to lay off 10% of their workforce. I mean, that's 14,000 employees. I mean, those employees are making good money. So you're already starting to see, again, continuation of the we're going to cut back type thing. The other one to pay attention to, because we got a question about this, is what's going on with Apple? Well, the main thing with Apple is this.